With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else says it's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can.
All different disciplines.
Coming up in 30 minutes, he won the Masters 3 years ago. Patrick Reed is going to join us. And in 45 minutes... coming up here on the program, we'll talk about the lottery. Last night, the NBA held its lottery, and the Detroit Pistons take home the number one pick of the NBA draft. Next hour, a special hour for our fourth hour listeners as Canadian Bacon makes its first appearance this postseason in the final hour of the show. Last night, an absolute thriller in the Western Conference Finals. Wow. Late in this game, Paul George has a chance to be the absolute hero. The Clippers still playing without Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers have a chance to go 1-1 in Phoenix because Chris Paul is still out. Of all of the times for Chris Paul to be out, of all of the times, he has only been to the finals once before. He has never been to an NBA Finals. This is clearly his best shot to do it. Remember, he was on the verge of going there when the Rockets were up 3-2 on the Warriors, but then he goes down with that injury, and the Warriors come back to win Game 6 and Game 7. He's finally on a team that didn't have to go through a super team to get to an NBA Finals. In fact, he's the higher seed. He's on the favorite, and it's not injury that besets him. It's COVID protocol. Of all the things, missing the first two games of this series. Even without him, the Suns win game one, but last night locked in a nip and tuck battle. And the fourth quarter was phenomenal action. The fourth quarter was an incredible back and forth affair. And Paul George has this moment where he can be the hero. Paul George has this moment where late in this game, he's hitting beautiful jumpers from 22 feet. He's giving the Clippers the lead on the road late. And it's his spot. It's his night. It's his stage. Without Kawhi, Playoff P has had to live up to a moniker he seemed to dub himself, and we all mocked him for it. But since Kawhi went down in the previous series, Paul George has stepped up. And this was going to be the next chapter of this. A shh to all the critics, all the naysayers. The Playoff P was a real thing. We had to shut up. He's hitting jumpers. He's making big plays. He's slashing into the basket. He's playing good defense. He's taking charge of a game two on the road. And he gets to the free throw line with two shots to essentially ice this game. With just seconds to play, he's at this free throw line, and Paul George, if he makes both, gives the Clippers a 3-point lead, which is going to be nearly impossible for the Suns to get up any type of valid or decent shot with such little time from three. And even if they do hoist it up and get it, it's only going to overtime. And Paul George misses the first. Crowd goes crazy. 8 seconds to play. Okay, if he makes the second, they're up two. Clangs the second off the back rim. Long rebound out to the Suns. My goodness, Paul George has left the door open. Suns come back down the floor after a timeout with about 8 seconds to play. They're trying to run a play. They're trying to get a good shot off. They can't really do so. They get it to Mikal Bridges in the corner. He shoots up a three. It's long off rim, goes out of bounds. It appears like it could be Clippers ball. Oh, no. It's still Suns ball, but only 0.8 of a second remain. What can you do there? You're inbounding from under your own basket, essentially. Under a second to play, the only play is to throw it up at the rim. Jay Crowder, perfect pass. DeAndre Ayton slams it down, and the Suns have the win. PDB, if we have that highlight, we should cue that thing up just to hear how the crowd reacts. But the story about Paul George can't be overstated. If Paul George hits those free throws, there's no way the Clippers can lose in regulation. And more than likely, they win a game two and they've got a 1-1 split going back to LA. And this kind of bipolar ballad of Paul George is the thing that is just terrorizing him. It is the dynamic that he can't shake. It's for every great moment that Paul George has had over the course of his career, there's another bigger, faulty moment when it mattered more. For every great playoff moment he's had in this postseason, the Clippers are still down 2-0, going back home, blowing beautiful chances without Chris Paul for the Suns to take at least one, and George was the guy at the free throw line that missed them both. And missed one of two a couple of minutes earlier. That's 3 points that one of the all-stars of the NBA should always lock down. Here is the final play of last night's thriller.
Crowder waiting with it. Lobs it underneath.
Yes!
It's good. DeAndre Ayton scores the basket over the rim and in. DeAndre Ayton put it over the rim and in. The players are out on the floor. The final score has not been put up as yet.
Suns radio on the call. It counts. They review it. The Clippers hope it is goaltending. It is not. And the Suns have a victory and take a 2-0 series lead. For Paul George, I can't go so far as to say he lost the game for the Clippers because he also makes two huge buckets down the stretch that gave them the lead. And without those buckets, there was nobody else really playing at the same level that he was that would have given the Clippers that lead. This was not the Terrence Mann game. This was not a game where they could survive without Paul George's theatrics. It was not a game where you could count on Reggie Jackson to do everything. So they needed Paul George to position them that way. So he didn't 100% lose the game for them. You can blame Ty Lue on his coaching positioning on that inbounds play. You can blame defense. You can blame the Kawhi Leonard injury. But you have to push some of the blame to Paul George for the missed free throws because that's the most stark part of last night's loss for the Clippers. What a game. 104-103. And the Suns have a 2-0 series lead. This series has been really interesting, and I think the other one's going to be really interesting as well. And I was just thinking about how cool it is watching these two teams and then ended up watching tonight the Eastern Conference two teams, knowing that these fan bases have never been here. they've never been this far. They've never been knocking on the door to an NBA Finals. I mean, the Suns were 10 years ago, but that feels like a lifetime ago. The Suns' last chance in the NBA Finals itself was 1993 with Charles Barkley and Dan Majerle, showing just how long ago that was. The Clippers fan base has never been this far. This Hawks fan base has never been to an NBA Finals, you know, since they were in St. Louis. And the Bucks fan base has been waiting for an NBA championship since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was Lou Alcindor. It's just an amazing thing to watch four completely fresh fan bases experience this. And that part of this is a beautiful thing to witness. Football. Bill Belichick was asked about advanced analytics, and we all know that in these days, advanced analytics is the language of a new generation. It's hot, it's fresh, it's cool, it's like Silicon Valley for sports. Got all these numbers, all these computer simulations, crunching all this data, and it helps project and give you some type of little advantage in circumstances or situations that perhaps previous generations never could have seen. And now you're armed with reams of data, data points, stat books, and now you have a new form of weaponry. So Bill Belichick, while speaking at the General Manager Forum, was asked by the panel about advanced analytics. And Bill Belichick says, quote, "I prefer good players, good fundamentals, and good execution." That's it. Simply dismissing advanced analytics. Dismissing this kind of new revolution of data. A couple of years ago, he said the same thing. Quote, "I've never looked at one in discussing analytics websites. I don't even care to look at one. I don't care what they say." Belichick, before a Super Bowl back in 2016, this was the one against the Falcons, said, "You could take those advanced websites and metrics wherever you want. I don't know. I've got no idea. I've never even looked at one. I don't even care what they say. All the metric pages, all of that. I mean, I have no idea. You need to ask that to a smarter coach than me." So here is a history of Bill Belichick ignoring publicly advanced analytics, poo-pooing it, dismissing it, whatever. It's crap. Now, I want to know from you guys if before I gave you those quotes, you thought Bill Belichick would go the opposite route. That a guy that seems to always be on the cutting edge of coaching strategy, that always seems to have an upper hand on all the situations, every game situation possible, if you thought, man, I would have assumed that Belichick was all about advanced analytics because he's always looking for an edge. I mean, the guy recorded and filmed every hand motion on the sideline. His franchise deflated footballs to a certain PSI. He has run plays that eventually were banned in the rule book, like against the Ravens of the playoffs. The Belichick always has a hook. Why would he not have analytics? I thought he was going to go the other way. To which case I would tell you, your instincts are right. Belichick's pulling a rope-a-dope here. Belichick is playing an Obi-Wan Kenobi, "These are not the droids you're looking for," Jedi mind trick. Of course Belichick uses metrics. Of course he looks at data. Of course Belichick uses as much information as humanly possible, or else he wouldn't be so impressively ready for every situation that happens. He's better than anybody at getting one or two things out of every piece of his roster. He's better than everybody at finding your weakness and playing to it. He's better than any other coach ever of allowing you to beat yourself. How does that happen? With information. And what is information? It's as much data as you can find. And Belichick has always done this. Okay, data might be, it used to be studying film, lots of film, hours of film, weeks of film, looking for one little thing. It could be watching film and studying game to find trends of your opponent. But that's data. It's still data. And he's not going to ignore all of the data that's out there today. What Belichick is doing is not tipping his hand that data is really important and that he uses it, because he wants it seen as, no way. What is that? That's meaningless. Because the one time he says, oh yeah, I use it, then every other copycat coach that looks at Belichick as the ultimate head coach ever and strategist goes, well, I got to have it. If Belichick likes it, then it must mean something. Belichick's smart like a fox here. He knows what he's doing. And he's in the hen house stealing your chickens. Oh, no. What's data? Computers? I can't even turn on what's that book face, Twitter book, tweet something. I don't even know what that is. Smash face. Remember that whole thing? Doesn't know social media. Doesn't have any. Just an old guy wearing a ripped up hoodie on the sideline trying to figure it out in real time. Yeah, right. Belichick's playing everybody. What's this? A computer? I don't even know how to use a calculator. Numbers? I would have no idea. I'm just an old-fashioned guy that puts on the helmet to put your hand in the dirt. Yeah, right. As though the Patriots ever been coached by just go out there and throw the footballs out. Yeah, right. Belichick knows exactly what he's doing. Belichick doesn't use data. Doesn't care for it. Well, if Belichick isn't the one with his nose inside the data, he's got an army, a legion of people that do it behind the scenes for him and distill it down to what he needs. I'll tell you that much. If you believe the New England Patriots don't have a bunch of 20-something MIT students and Northeastern students and Harvard students boiling down tons of film and data and stats and printing out whatever it is that Belichick or Ernie Adams or other shadow figures inside that organization need to know where Justin Herbert's going to throw on 3rd and 6, you're nuts. They absolutely do that. There's no way they wouldn't do that. There's no way you could win as big as they have without knowing all of those types of things. When we come back here on the show, Patrick Reed is going to join us. We'll talk some golfing with him. Also, AB has your headlines from last night of the world of sports and a crazy game 2 in the Western Conference Finals and NHL playoffs as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
It smelled stinky, dance floor cleared, and you said it must be my son. Did you ever feel guilty about laying that on him?
No.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Now, the MLB Player of the Week brought to you by AutoZone. How about Charlie Morton, who Mraz has dismissively called Uncle Rufus before? With 7 innings of shutout baseball against the Mets last night, Morton walked 2, fanned 11. The Braves get a 3-0 shutout win over the Amazing. The Player of the Week brought to you by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Remember, if your local affiliate does not carry us, you can always listen to us streaming on your phone for free. You could use the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app, or you could just go to our website and listen to us for free as well. That's cbssportsradio.com. That's easy enough. cbssportsradio.com. Or listen to us on Sirius XM channel 206, or watch us at watchda.com, or you can watch us as well on our Twitch channel. Billy in RVA tweets, mice in Australia sounds like a job for Giant Man. Yeah, ho, no, actually. Ho, ho.
Sports Giant.
Dixie Landan tweets, so who is Giant Jeff and what are his powers? Well, look here. Picture a 15-foot tall Badlands Booker with the strength of Brad Heller. He pretty much just stands in the background and eats chicken wings as intimidation tactics. I love the idea that a superhero would have the strength of Brad Heller. Greasy tweets, as someone who is 6'6", I completely agree that we are poorly represented in modern culture. Not nearly enough people getting things off of the top shelves for old ladies or bonking their heads on door frames or trying to fly in a plane. Good heavens, we demand change.
Just pick up the whole stack and just try to eat it all.
Good morning.
Mraz is worried that in years from now, kids won't know who the New York Giants or San Francisco Giants are named after because Giants are underrepresented in modern culture. Big people.
Not wrong.
Certainly could be wrong. Oh, boy. There it is.
No, I'm good.
That's it. That's the phlegm cough.
I went to laugh. Which is a credit to you. You made me laugh, and it was a little raspy behind it. That's all.
Raspy?
With 2.5 hours in, I haven't had that moment yet. This is a good spot for me.
Sound like you barfed up oatmeal.
No, oatmeal. Probably haven't touched oatmeal in 3 years. No excuses. Play like a champion. I'm here today.
You know, you took a lot of heat yesterday from listeners who thought that you bellyached your way through Monday's show.
That's probably fair. In re-listening, I probably did bellyache with my way. I'd like to have a couple of those comments back. Absolutely. People show up to work sick all the time. I think the listeners had every right to say I bellyached through, and that wasn't right of me.
Oh!
Okay. Andrew Bogish is our headlines. An awesome game number 2 in the Western Conference Finals last night. AB, what do we got?
We got headlines sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. If only the Clippers had tall Jeff for defense, maybe this wouldn't have happened last night.
Crowder waiting with it. Lobs it underneath.
Yes!
It's good. DeAndre Ayton scores the basket over the rim and in. DeAndre Ayton put it over the rim and in. The players are out on the floor. The final score has not been put up as yet.
Al McCoy, Tim Kempton, Suns Radio. DeAndre Ayton didn't know what to do after dunking in Jay Crowder's pass with 0.7 seconds left in Game 2 of the Western Conference Final.
The celebration and the reaction was a little shaky because I wasn't too sure what I did. You know, I wasn't too sure if it counted. I didn't want to, you know, be a blooper or none of that. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to, you know, just get to the next play.
The hoop counted after review. The next play was a long pass to Paul George and a missed three, giving the Suns a 104-103 escape. They lead the series 2-0. Ayton scored 24 with 14 rebounds. Devin Booker had just 20 and may have broken his nose in a third quarter collision with Pat Beverly. Still without Kawhi, Paul George led the Clippers with 26, but missed 2 free throws right before Ayton's oop. Game 3 at Staples tomorrow night. The Suns said to be optimistic that Chris Paul will be cleared from COVID protocols. The ping pong balls favored the Pistons last night. They'll pick first for the first time since 1970 when they selected Bob Lanier out of St. Bonaventure. The Rockets, Cavs, Raptors, and Magic complete the top 5. Orlando also has the 8th pick this summer. And Lakers guard Alex Caruso arrested yesterday for a small amount of marijuana as he tried to board a flight in College Station, Texas. Caruso was charged with 2 misdemeanors and quickly posted bond. The Montreal Canadiens are 1 win away from their first Stanley Cup final since 93, a 4-1 win in Vegas last night for a 3-2 series lead. 11 chancellors and presidents gave their initial approval to expanding the college football playoff yesterday. They gave the green light to FBS commissioners to start a summer summer review phase to iron out all the details of expansion. Executive Director Bill Hancock said again yesterday, this is all at least 2 years away. Baseball's top prospect debuted last night in Tampa Bay.
And the first pitch to him. Swing and a high drive deep to left field. On its way, his first big league hit is a game-tying three-run homer. It's 5-5.
As heard on Rays radio, Wander Franco also doubled, but Tampa Bay lost to Boston 9-5-11. That's a seven-game skid for the Rays. The White Sox on a six-game slot after a 6-3 loss in Pittsburgh, and the D-backs losing to the Brewers 5-0 the night after ending their 17-game drought. The Astros beat the O's 3-1 for a 9-game win streak. It's 6 in a row for the Padres, 3-2 over the Dodgers, and the Mets beat the Rockies 2-1 for a 5-gamer. And off the WNBA scoreboard, the Sky took care of the Liberty 92-72 to push their win streak to 6. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. You can always hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS, waiting for Patrick Reed to dial in. Angelo tweets, in the late 80s, I was on a youth mission trip to Mexico. We were actually staying in an upstairs room of a church, and at night, cockroaches would run all over your body. I was horrified and slept maybe 2 minutes. Trust me, you forget all about serving God real quick.
Jeez.
That's based on the mice story in Australia, where there's so many mice that they're biting people at night, and they're getting squished by cars all over the place, and they're having to vacate prisons because of it. Mraz, scarier, cockroaches running on top of you or mice?
I think cockroaches, only because I'm pretty sure they carry more disease than mice, though that could be infactual. I just remember from my sandwich making days.
Infactual. Unfactual. What do you remember from your sandwich making days?
Well, I took many a safety and health course, and it was believed that rodent problems were far less severe than cockroach problems as far as extermination and handling and sickness to customers should rodents get near the food, let's just say.
Yeah, I'm sure that cockroaches can spread something, bacteria, what have you, but mice are way more dangerous. I mean, mice help create the bubonic plague, so.
Good point.
Mice are a tough one, spreading disease. How about this weekend? The PGA Tour is in Cromwell, Connecticut at a beautiful course, the TPC River Highlands. They are there for the Travelers Championship. That'll be seen on CBS coming up this weekend. And it's a great, great field coming through, which includes Dustin Johnson, reigning champion, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, amongst others, and 2018 Masters champ Patrick Reed. And Patrick joins us this morning on the show. Patrick, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We'll get the Travelers on the Golf Channel this week and then CBS as well over the weekend. And you guys have a lot of big events here stacked up one after the other for a couple of weeks. So how do you avoid burnout between events?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was for me, especially last week, as grueling as a U.S. Open is and being on the other side of the country, I actually flew home Sunday night and spent the day all of Monday with my little ones and kind of try to get away from golf, just try to clear the mind and free up the mind. And really, with a lot of the top guys, with how much we travel, you got to listen to your body. There's days that you're going to come out here, whether it's a Monday or Tuesday, where you just don't quite feel that great. Your body feels sluggish or anything like that. And so it turns into being a light day and things like that. But I think that's the biggest thing and the hardest thing that we have to adjust to is that even though we're on site, there's days that your body just says, hey, you know, today would be a good day to take it easy. Because once Wednesday gets here, it's full go. You got Wednesday pro-ams and then, you know, Thursday through Sunday is tournament time. So for us, the biggest thing is just trust your body, learn when to gear back and when to go full force and just try to be as fresh as you can tournament time.
Anybody who's played golf, even on weekend swinging the sticks, knows it's such a mental game. And even 18 holes can be mentally grueling. And so those middle days where you're not playing, not competing, and trying to get away from things, mentally, what do you do to totally disconnect?
The biggest thing for me is try to hang out with family as much as I can. Whether if I'm on the road and the family's not on the road, I'll FaceTime the kids, especially, you know, being summer and they're not, you know, not in school. I'll FaceTime them and when Joelle's my daughter, she just turned 7. We actually I'll travel with like Guess Who in a couple of the games, and we'll play Guess Who for hours. We'll FaceTime, and you know she'll have a board, I'll have a board, and we just do everything but golf, basically. You know, everything from that to just, you know, listening to those funny and just innocent stories as the little kids say. And really, I think that's the biggest thing, is just trying to get away. And I love the Peloton, love to ride the bike. So what I do when I get home, even if I'm not going and trying to hit it really hard, I'll just kind of get on there and spin and just, you know, kind of get myself away from thinking about golf, basically just trying to get as much rest as possible. And a lot of times there's some physical fatigue that some of the guys run to, but mainly it's more mental. When you mentally are tired, mentally drained, that's when some of the mistakes happen. That's when your swing starts kind of going a different direction because you're not fully focused on a swing or a swing thought, and you can't quite see the pictures and the shots you're trying to do while you're out there. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is, once I became a dad was, you know, basically put golf in perspective, but also being able to focus on the little ones and just kind of having a getaway, because the little ones, they don't care if you shoot 62 or 82. They just want to talk to the daddy. They want to see daddy and then, you know, spend time with them. So for me, that's the easiest getaway for me, is to go hang out with the little ones.
Patrick Reed joins us, head of the Travelers Championship this weekend in Connecticut. So when I used to play Guess Who as a kid, I had two big strategies. Number one, first question is man or a woman, because that usually knocks out about half of the field. The other one is it a brunette, brown hair? Because that usually there's usually more brunettes than there are blondes. What's the big Patrick Reed Guess Who strategy to open things up?
So it's always, that first question is the same. It's always, all right, male or female? And you're hoping the other, you know, hoping my daughter has a female, because that wipes out three quarters of that board. And you're like, yeah. Oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fun thing is, you know, after I do that, then if it is a female, then with it being, you know, my daughter and her only being 7, even though she's really good at the game, I'll start just like, all right, if I have that big of a lead, I'll be like, all right, well, you know, I'll start doing the one-offs just so then she can kind of catch back up.
Will you take a dive, Patrick Reed? Patrick Reed takes a dive?
Yeah, with my baby girl, of course. I can't say no to her, you know. But, you know, we'll play checkers too, and I won't dive on that.
Okay.
And she, when we play checkers, she's gotten really good really quickly. And you know, when I was younger, I used to play checkers and chess. And when I was doing that, she's so smart, and she picks up things like that really quickly. And it's fun going out there and, you know, playing a bunch of games with her.
Very nice. So this field has both Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka in it, and the golf world has been buzzing over the last couple of weeks because of their rivalry. You've been involved in rivalries before. You versus Jordan Spieth recently ranked as one of the top 10 rivalries in golf history. Do you think that Koepka versus Bryson is good for the sport?
On the golf course, yes, for sure. Off the golf course, I'd go at it a different way. You know, I mean, I know I've ruffled feathers before, and I know kind of how it can go. So, you know, there's some things there that is playful banter and some things that probably shouldn't be said or shouldn't be done. But, you know, really when it comes down to rivalries, especially in golf and in sports, a lot of that needs to be done on the golf course, you know, with how you're playing, you know, I mean, even if it's just little jabs here and there, off the golf course about, you know, just little things here and there, that's fine. But, you know, I mean, there's some things I'd probably go at it a little different way, but you know, I'm glad I'm just not in one of those situations right now, you know, having to go back and forth. But, you know, really at the end of the day, you have two great golfers that are going out, and, you know, they're going at it not only on the golf course but off the golf course. But as long as it doesn't take away from what they're trying to do on the golf course and the brands, and the brand of the PGA Tour, then – you know, that's up for them to decide and up for the PGA Tour to make that decision.
So when you say, I've been there before, I've said some things before, does that mean that you have learned lessons from it and would handle things differently now if you had a rivalry on tour?
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's always a line there of playful banter and a rivalry back and forth, and then crossing that line. It's just like for fans, when you're out there, you going back and forth and having playful banter with the fans is great for the game of golf. But once you cross that line of whether it's disrespect or when you cross that line of, you know, things that shouldn't be said, where, you know, it could affect not just, you know, that person but others as well, then that's when, you know, you have that issue, and that's the line that you just can't cross. And you know, I think every single player has crossed that line at some point, and you just need to learn from it, and hopefully it doesn't happen again. And you know, there's been some things I've kind of gone back and forth and with that situation that has crossed too many times. I feel like that you know, we'll see how it all unfolds, and especially when they get paired together, whether it's paired together Thursday, Friday, or whether it's paired together because they both shot the same score and they're playing a Saturday or even a Sunday, late Sunday together.
We've got both of them, Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, in the upcoming Travelers Championship this week. Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, a wonderful cast because there's five of the top 10 ranked players of the world this year at the Travelers Championship, one of the top events of the tour. Coverage is going to be Golf Channel starting the week, and then through the weekend CBS takes over. And also we've got fans back at the Travelers, which is awesome. Last year there were no fans. This year we've got it back, which means that the tournament takes on a whole different vibe and energy. You can follow the Travelers Championship social channels as well to get live updates throughout the week. Patrick, great stuff this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck this week over in Connecticut.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for all the support.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. Patrick Reed joining us this morning here on the show. Excellent stuff about the DeChambeau versus Koepka feud that is going on these days. Really interesting thoughts on what crosses the line, what is considered playful, what is not playful, what's good sportsmanship, what's bad sportsmanship, what's a distraction. Really excellent stuff from Patrick Reed, who knows a little bit something about this. Him and Jordan Spieth were kind of at odds for a while, but really interesting insight from a guy that's going to be right in the middle of things. It's an excellent field coming up this weekend in Connecticut for the Travelers Championship. When we come back here on the show, last night was the NBA lottery.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Winners and losers. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Whereas, dare I ask, only a minute and a half into this show, what is going on back there?
I just broke my finger.
hair. It's so bad. The door just totally smashed my fingers. I went to get the DA sign.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
47 minutes past the hour. Remember that the DA Show is available on your smart speaker. If you got one of those bad boys, an Amazon Echo, an Alexa, just tell it, play CBS Sports Radio. If you can't find it, you can always just add in by Odyssey. And you'll find it. It'll find it and play us around the house as you get ready for your day in the morning.
And I
play CBS Sports Radio on your smart speaker.
I want to scream. Door just totally smashed my fingers. I went to get the VA sign.
The one that went wee wee wee.
Wee wee wee.
And wee wee wee.
Wee wee wee.
And wee wee wee.
Question earlier in the morning was ask Mraz whether he knows what a clipper is. And he got it right. Hawaiian Tony Danza tweets, I was very impressed with Mraz's correct clipper answer. I was almost sure, since he's a piggy doodle dandy, that he was going to make a Jolton Joe DiMaggio Yankee reference. Also, do all boats have tails like all bears do? Hashtag unpipe it. Hashtag cold water.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Get cold water.
Dixie Landan tweets, I finally figured it out. You guys just bombard poor Mraz with questions in roundabout ways until he gets confused and his brain snaps and he starts answering questions with nonsense because he's lost as last year's Easter egg in the conversation. It is hilarious, though.
This is facts.
Bingo. Bingo. This is... I'm just going to tell you the play out of the playbook because it's so obvious. You ask Mraz a trivia question, and you have a 50-50 shot of him being right or wrong. And if he is wrong, he is usually painfully, ridiculously, absurdly wrong. And so 50% chance that you have just a brilliant drop.
Disciplines.
And something great for Year of the Buffoon. Now, if he gets it right, you just keep following it up. And you just ask him a series of other questions about the right answer. And at some point in time, Mraz will find himself once again giving you something unbelievably off the reservation, off the crazy level of the show. Because like in this case, he was right about the Clippers logo. And it could have just finished there. But I kind of went into a conversation about the Clippers logo, about the Clippers. Well, actually, he brought up the fact that there is no boat reference in the Clippers logo, which he's absolutely right about. We got into that. And then Mraz, after about 5 minutes of just kind of hashing things out, dropped the, and I'm worried about the Giants not having a giant in their logo. And I, of course, asked why. And Mraz explained he was worried that kids won't know what a giant is in future years because there's not enough giants in pop culture these days. That the books and comic books and folklore that we all grew up on are fading. And you might not know what a giant is later on in the century. And that
giant
gives us exactly what we need. And Mraz, in doing so, said, I think the only reference is the Jolly Green Giant. And without that, nobody would know what a giant is. Now, of course, you and I realize that is patently absurd because giant is an adjective to describe something really big.
Giant.
Everybody would know, at the very least, that it means something large, somebody large. But all you got to do is just keep poking around enough, and eventually something will come out that you just can't believe. And then you have your show, and it's the easiest pathway to an epic fail as well. If you're ever wondering, do we have an epic fail? What's going to the epic fail is going to be? You just ask Mraz enough questions, and something's going to end up being the epic fail.
I'm not answering questions anymore. I didn't know that this was the thing.
Come on. You didn't know?
I just thought we'd have a nice conversation as part of the show. I didn't know you purposely asked me the Clipper question. In hopes of getting an epic fail. I mean, have a little confidence in me.
No, I didn't ask you that in hopes of getting the epic fail. I just knew there was a chance with that question to be the epic fail. And then if that wasn't, there's just enough questions along that conversation path where we'll get there. We'll get a fail out of it.
I would say 95% of the time I'm asked a question, I get it right. I'm not that big a stooge.
And that's another. There you go. That's more. That could be an epic fail right there. You thinking you're right 95% of the time.
Yeah, I think when I'm wrong, I agree with you, it's painfully wrong. But I think that's very minimal when that happens in comparison.
Okay. Last night, the NBA lottery took place. And the Detroit Pistons win the lottery. The Pistons are rarely ever in the top five. One of the last times they were in the top five was the ill-fated Darko Milicic pick. Detroit's number one. The Rockets are number two. They avoid losing their pick, which was huge if it wasn't in the top four. The Rockets are number two. The Cleveland Cavaliers, number three. And a big winner, the Toronto Raptors move all the way up from 7 to 4. They were the seventh worst record of the NBA, but they get the number four pick in the draft. 5 is Orlando. 6 is OKC. 7 is Minnesota, but that goes to Golden State. That was the D'Angelo Russell deal, right? That was the D'Angelo? Was that Russell? No, sorry. That was the Andrew Wiggins deal. And then you have Chicago at number 8. That goes to Orlando as well. So the Magic have number 5 and number 8. Sacramento 9, New Orleans 10, Charlotte 11, San Antonio 12, Indiana 13, Golden State 14. And then you have the Wizards 15, the Celtics 16, although that Celtics pick at 16 will go to Oklahoma City as part of their recent deal for Kemba Walker and Al Horford. Now, winners and losers, the obvious winner is Orlando with 5 and 8. They'll have 2 picks in the top 8 in this year's draft. Who's the biggest loser? I'll tell you coming up on the flip side. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.